Blog Talk Radio.
Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in the media or comments on this show are those of the speaker or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by our ministry. All material is gathered from other sources, and we only comment on publication and previous social formatted information. Due to the social nature of this information, it may contain content copyrighted by another entity or person. Deeper Look claims no copyright to said content. The Deeper Look can't be held accountable for the copyrighted content. The Deeper Look is a messenger and sharer of information and strives to verify but cannot warrant the accuracy of copyrights or completeness of the information on this format. If you have a complaint about something or find your content is being used incorrectly, please contact The Deeper Look prior to making a copyright claim. Any infringement was not done on purpose and will be rectified to all parties' satisfaction.
Join the Deeper Look family. We would like you to like us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Deeper Look Show or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Deeper Look Show. You can get alerts when we go live. Save this number to call in and voice your opinion. Be our co-host call-in guest, 516-590-0135.
Hey, how are you doing? Hopefully all is well. There's one more intro that I want him to do. I want him to do Tell Dr. Jackson, there is, and then, but I want to introduce a guest, and then they're going to do that tonight. This is, I was going to say Dr. Hunt.
No.
This is Nurse Hunt.
Nurse Hunt.
And she's with us. We want to have some information that's going to be shared tonight. It's going to be an interesting show. You need healthcare professionals that can speak to you. There's an assundry of things that she has. Now, she's not only just a nurse. She's an activist. She's
yes,
a mother.
Yes.
And she is a concerned citizen. She oftentimes like to give a disclaimer. She's going to say some powerful things. She's not looking at this time to run for office or any of those kind of things. God has not told her that.
No.
But she has a compassion for this city and this nation. And as a spiritual leader, I'm concerned that the information is being given to the community. I know there are a lot of people that watch us that are the faith community, and I want to make sure that people of faith are getting the word out. Also, as we're developing the brand of this show, there is a portion of this show where we are we want whistleblowers, people that know that mess is going on in our community, in our streets, in our churches, in our government, that will let us know and tell us what's going on. And I want you to give me your opinions. Tell me what's going on. I want to hear what you say is going on. We want to make sure that we are proactive and responsive as well. And so I got a sneaking sensation that that Nurse Hunt's going to be with us on a whole lot more issues.
Well, I hope so.
And dealing with a lot of things that are going wrong and things that are going right. We're not going to always talk about the problems in the community. We're also going to talk about some of the solutions, some of the great people that are doing some. So I'm so excited. They're going to do this roll-in that they didn't do in the early part. I think they waited for this particular speech here. And let's go to that now.
You have information that needs to be exposed about the harming of people. Contact information, and please send corresponding proof. We do not buy stories or use this platform to hurt people, but we listen to both sides of the story. Email us today at deeperlook2020@gmail.com.
Well, we're back. I'm excited. We've got got Nurse Hunt with us. Well, there's so much talk in our community about
not taking this thing seriously.
Right.
In the first beginning stage, our president made some statements like this thing will fly over, kind of made jokes about it being the Chinese thing and it'll pass over. But the world has been affected.
Yeah.
And in Jacksonville, we've had so many cases of
yes.
being testing. People are going everywhere being tested, and the numbers are 47 people with it?
Well, actually, as of the other day, we've had about 121 have tested positive for COVID-19 as of Monday morning. The statewide caseload has rose to actually 1,171. 14 people have died from the disease, including two from Jacksonville, one from Clay County, and we've had an increase of 164 cases. Currently, Lot J, which is downtown, was designated by the federal for federal COVID-19 testing on Saturday, and there have been 565 people tested by 1 o'clock on Monday. It is now open to all ages, but they must have a temperature of 99.6. That's like a low-grade temp, what we consider the low-grade temp. Plus, they must have respiratory symptoms. That might include shortness of breath. You may have some fever, like I said, coughing, a dry cough. Usually it's persistent because when the virus first enters into the body, it will present in the throat before it progresses into the lungs. And then that you will start to feel like you're going underwater. You can't get your breath as the virus replicates very rapidly in your lungs. So this is what we're looking at here in Duval County.
So I don't. Do you think we were ready?
No, absolutely. When I was here before, we sort of touched on it, but I had been looking at what was going on in Wuhan, China, on YouTube, and I was actually prepared for it. You were seeing these people jumping out of windows and all of this. And, you know, unfortunately, I feel like the United States just kind of took this for granted and didn't really prepare. And, the president was calling it a hoax. And unfortunately, I think, we shouldn't have probably allowed those cruise ships in, disembark off those cruise ships. And we should have been taking effective measures to monitor temps and things of that nature before we started allowing people into this country.
Now, we're not going to get into this in this portion of
right.
it, but, you know, I was just seeing something the other day that there were members of Congress and the Senate, part of the Intelligence Committee,
mm-hmm.
were given information prior
right.
and actually sold stocks and prepared. They knew, the intelligence community knew where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
It's the citizens, like the mom and pops, us, I mean, just all of us, really did not know. And if you're not really a social media conscientious person, mm-hmm. you didn't know. But I need your nursing. I'm calling on, I know you're an advocate. I'm calling on your nursing skills and you wear many hats.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what we can do to protect ourselves. I mean, and to be honest with you, as an African-American, I've heard so many statements that have come from other providers and other ethnicities and things of the sort.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some behavior patterns that are indigenous of our community that we
right.
kind of do.
Right.
And we have a lot of seniors and a lot of those kind of things. And, we work with a lot of millennials and
right.
A lot of young adults. And they're going back home to deal
mm-hmm.
with grannies, mothers. Their mothers are older, their parents, and they're carriers of stuff.
Right.
And they may not be infected yet, but they may carry the virus on them and all that kind of
right.
things. Tell us what we can do to safeguard from your practical understanding of this as a
healthcare provider. Okay, well, number one, I brought some props here to some things to show you. Now, number one, I would encourage you to get some disinfectant. You should have antimicrobial hand wash so you can wash your hands repeatedly throughout the day. And I mean, when you wash your hands, wash them thoroughly, pat them dry, use a napkin or something to cut off the sink and to touch the door handles, or you're reinfecting yourself. also have hand sanitizer. I'd like for you to check your temperatures throughout the day. Like I said, monitor for 99.4 or above. Should be using gloves. And I would encourage everybody to have an N95 respirator mask and to make sure it is properly sealed around the nose and all the way around so nothing is seeping in. Also, if you do not have hand sanitizer, you can always use alcohol, ethyl alcohol. But the main thing is social distancing. You should be at least 6 feet apart and stay indoors. If you do not have to go anywhere, now's the time to look at YouTube, play some video games, play some cards, read your Bible, do some things, you know. But being outside could be hazardous to your health. And that's just simple as that.
Now, you mentioned alcohol.
Yes.
Because this stuff here is going in the store so quick.
Right.
I mean, they can't keep it on the shelf.
Well, you can make your own sanitizer. You know, you can take some wipes, napkins, paper towels, kind of put bleach on them, take them and wring them out, put them back in. Like I was telling my daughter, I said, if you've got your the baby wipe container, you could take a little bleach, put it over there, wring it out, and put them back in there and keep them dry and wipe your hands, right?
So bleach kills it.
Right, bleach.
Alcohol,
ethyl alcohol. The Trump was saying something about the fluorinine, or I can't think of the exact name, but he was chloroform. It's a form, and most people don't have access to that anyway. But the main thing is hand sanitizer. If you don't have it, bleach. Everybody has some bleach and some alcohol. If push come to shove, you don't have alcohol, don't take this wrong, Pastor. Get some old-fashioned vodka, something like that. It's got alcohol in it. It will work. I'm just telling the truth.
Okay.
You got to do what you got to do if this continues to go on and we don't have. But you need to sanitize your hands. But nothing will replace hand washing. I cannot stress that enough. Hand washing. Don't be touching surfaces. Please do not touch your mouth, your nose, your eyes, and, you know, staying at a distance from people. One of the things in our community is we're actually very interactive. We're social people. We like, hey, what's up? You know, now's the time to be at a distance from people.
So now I want to talk about some things in terms of this whole virus and affecting our community.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the people that are at risk, that are greatly at risk from your understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Of
well, first of all, anybody that is what we call immunocompromised, anybody that have underlying health issues. For example, a lot of us have asthma. I have asthma. A lot of that is because of the environmental toxins in our communities, right? So we're at risk. I'm at risk. Anybody older, anybody that's got an autoimmune disease like diabetes, heart disease, cancer. And so this can affect your grandmama, your uncle, you know, your older people in your family. So even though young people who are more healthy and don't have what we call comorbidities or underlying healthcare issues may recover quicker, they could then pass it on to their grandmama and aunts and uncles in the house.
So my question for you, mm-hmm. it's a possibility they could recover without being...
Yeah, absolutely. You can have a low-grade temperature, stay indoors, and go through the symptomatology and actually recover. There are people who are recovering.
Wait a minute. Without the drugs? And
without the drugs. But
uh-huh.
80% of people do recover. But what about the 20% that don't?
So let me get this right. So there could be people that are going through the virus
mm-hmm.
with the symptoms of the virus,
mm-hmm.
going through it, recover, still have traces of that in them in the last stages,
right.
Almost like the cold.
Mm-hmm.
The cold is over with.
Right.
You know, you just got a little bit
right.
and all of that kind
right.
of stuff
right.
going on.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you're around people,
mm-hmm.
and before you know it,
gave it to your grandmama, your aunt, your cousin that's got some type of respiratory illness.
So the danger is really I hate to use this term like this, but millennials can be one of the most dangerous things walking the earth that are not doing this. I know the seniors need to definitely do this.
Right.
But because their social interaction.
Right.
Usually they're the ones that they're sending to the store.
Right.
They're the ones that are exchanging, going to get things from mom, going to handle stuff because of
they're
that.
Still going to the beach, still congregating in the neighborhood, still having the parties, still going to the club, you know.
Now, let me tell you something. I was literally, and I'm a man of faith. Don't get me wrong.
I know
really
you
got,
are. I know
but
you are.
I had to go to Walmart. And
right.
When I went into Walmart, you know, I had my mask on, and then I had a towel over that, and then I put my my money in the machine, and it jammed, and people were walking around me, and all the kind of
right.
I'm wiping my hands and everything.
You should be.
And so literally, I'm sitting here like because
matter of fact, you should have had on gloves.
See, yeah.
So I'm gonna leave you some gloves.
Okay, well,
tonight.
Thank you because
but don't say I never gave you nothing.
but literally. But I was watching people walking around,
right.
Not covered. But there is a social awareness.
Right.
People, I mean, people speak. Hey, I mean, with their face. I mean,
right,
I mean,
right.
Because they are. There is a phobia. That's two things that happen
mm-hmm.
now: depression and anxiety.
Oh yes.
It also affects the immune system.
Absolutely, the stress.
The stress, and so even though the news is reporting. Our own mayor said that he did not realize that there were cases that had hit Jack when he found out. You know how he found out? Watching the news himself.
Well, he should have found out because I went on the city of Jacksonville, COJ.com, and I voiced my concern about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Was he?
Directly on his site and asked him what was he doing to be prepared for this. But, you know, there's an economic impact, and what happens with our politicians is they start to think about economics before they start to think about human health, and that's part of the problem.
And we're going to get to that, but you know, there's much talk about our president
right.
saying that in just a little while, and we'll be back to work, and we're going to be back and active.
Right.
And there's so much fear. There's so much phobia.
Well, it should be because there's no guarantee that this is going to be arrested or stopped by April, which he's saying by Easter. The number one thing is we need more testing, Bishop, because unless we have more testing to see who's actually positive, we can't begin to isolate those patients.
Especially because you said something to me that literally people can be carrying it, not really aware, thinking
well,
they've
can
got
be,
the cup. They're carrying the
right.
a cold or
right.
just and actually be carrying it.
Well, you can be asymptomatic for up to 14 days and give it to somebody. So it's imperative that we take this stuff seriously. I need everybody I came out tonight because I care about the people who look at your show. This community, and as a nurse, you know, nursing is more than just skills. It's about advocacy, right? It's
mm-hmm.
about reaching out and caring. I came out to venture out tonight because I cared, because I think it is critical that we learn to protect ourselves and that we become precautious and we understand the seriousness, the deadly seriousness of this pandemic.
We host every year the North Florida's Black Nurses. Their functions are here. We've made our spot the spots as they raise money for their causes and scholarships
okay.
and stuff. We do a lot with them. And so my heart goes out. My mom, healthcare provider
right.
herself, she's an RN. And, you know, nurses and doctors.
Well, last week, if you follow me on Facebook, raising very heated concern about a lot of nurses who were having signs and symptoms of COVID-19 mm-hmm. and couldn't get access to the testing because they hadn't proved that they had been around somebody that actually had an active case of COVID-19, and they were being denied the test and so forth and was being required to report back to work. And then they were saying that a lot of them didn't have access to protective equipment, which we're learning that a lot of our hospitals and things are at risk for were running out of medical supplies and the needed equipment. But since then, let me just explain, not to cut you off. Since then, because of the outpouring of concern, voices like mine, the mayor then decided to designate Lot J 2 weeks later as a Trump administration as a COVID testing site, and they are now opening up the Osborne, the Prime Osborne Center, and there's going to be plans to make that into like a almost like a wartime hospital unit that's able to take care of the overflow right in our hospitals. But right now, our hospitals are able to meet capacity.
You know, one of my growing concerns, and I'm going to talk about technology and how important it is for businesses and churches and groups to adjust to that. But you know, one of my growing concerns our homeless population.
Oh yeah.
If you allow me to use this word, and y'all saints don't crucify me, we do a piss poor job.
That's true.
Addressing the issues of our homeless population, and expressly now, this week, not just the homeless, but families, we took out items to the community, you know, covered up and sealed.
Right.
But we realized that people are having experience in financial hardship, and you know, they ran out of benefits. You know, money's gone because they're home longer, and it's something. You know, I got to tell y'all. You know, you cannot eat up all your
COVID rations like my granddaughter.
You cannot eat it all up.
Yeah,
you've got to stretch this.
Yeah, because we don't know when this is gonna come to an end. And we shouldn't be hoarding, but we should be vigilant. Like, I already had toilet tissue and needed necessities because my daughter was looking at this stuff back in January. So we were steadily building up all of the necessities in our house to last us for 3 months. So I'm very well stocked because I took this stuff seriously.
Now you get your pistol at the house too?
Well, I thought about getting one because if we do not get safeguards in our system right now with the, and that can lead, we could talk about that in terms of the stimulus. We don't get that, then I predict we're going to have civil unrest in this country because, you know, my cousin is a McDonald's franchise owner. And
16 stores?
She has 12.
12.
And she is fighting right now to keep those stores going because workers are begging her to keep going to have a paycheck. Right, because they still have to pay rent, lights,
and
bills,
and with people staying home,
right,
and buying
food. And now the demand for services is decreased. She's got a small staff working because they closed the inside of the restaurants down, and now she has to either service them through the window or takeout, which actually exposed those essential workers to COVID-19, those workers that are delivering the food to your home.
So the Grubhub, the DoorDash, all of those kind of people are so at risk.
At risk. And I would recommend that they wash their hands, use the N95, be sure and stand at a safe distance. You know, they got to protect themselves. At the end of the day, you got to look out for yourself.
And the Uber drivers.
Oh, yeah.
All of those people that are really on the front.
Yeah, on the front end. Now we're seeing how important the workers are in this country, which could lead to another segment of why I support Bernie Sanders for president.
Well, you know, Bernie did make some really, you know, they killed Bernie, and we won't get in that session. But now people are siding with some of the things that Bernie was saying.
Well, no one is, you know, they were saying, well, socialism doesn't work. But no one was looking at $1,000 that Trump was offering, right? Mm-hmm. That's a form of socialism, right?
In crisis, all that logic, all that goes out the window in times of
crisis.
People start thinking about, but I think that somehow we've lost our heart for one another.
So.
And to it hits our door. To tragedy, I watch in gun violence and things that happen in our community.
Well, we see that all the time, don't we?
So when Pookie goes,
right,
or Elizabeth died,
right?
You know, we need to do something about this city and this country and these guns and this stuff that's going on.
Absolutely. We see that with, well, I won't get into that, but, you know, black men being.
It's okay for them to die until someone of an ethnicity or another group or
right.
social economic bracket is affected when crime reaches and it leaves Moncrief and comes to Marin. And it's already going on there.
Well, the thing is, what happens is, it's not just crime leaving Moncrief going to Mandarin. Mandarin going to Moncrief everywhere in the city. And what happens is, the people that live in Moncrief are more likely to get re-victimized because you're right there by that person. I can break in your house and see your TV. You're right there. I don't need to go away to Mandarin, right?
And ready. And enforcement, follow through, and all of those things are not there to ensure protection.
Right.
And, you know, but listen to me. Texas is a growing thing that
okay.
consists.
Mm-hmm.
And so companies, groups,
mm-hmm.
churches,
mm-hmm.
some of them, you know, I've been spilling this thing out. Churches, stream your services.
Right.
Get technologically advanced.
Right.
Let me help you for a few hundred dollars. I go in for a couple hundred dollars and show them this is not big money. This is not heavy dollars. Let me do the heavy lifting. Let me set up systems for you. Let me train the few little people you got. Grab me your young people. You know, some of your senior citizens may not understand this technology, but you got some millennials that they want to do something in the church and y'all won't let them do anything anyhow,
mm-hmm.
Other than saying a certain Sunday or early praise them. They got technical abilities. They're smart. Let me grab them.
Mm-hmm.
And now pastors are realizing streaming can't stream. You know, not. They're at a disadvantage, and even you that are at a disadvantage, I'm still saying, call me. Let me help you. It doesn't matter if you're in another city. I can walk you through and actually train them what to do to get by and do something that looks professional. The playing field has now changed
mm-hmm.
because once upon a time, you got a nice church,
mm-hmm.
and so now the storefront preacher or the little guy took some time that was younger to get his stuff together.
Right.
Now you've got this huge church over here. Mm-hmm. Your stuff is raggedy.
Right.
Or not able to stream. And it's crazy because you got to be concerned about your parishioners.
Right.
And I've been watching that it's as though pastors were not sensitive towards it. So what I did is I opened the doors. I told pastors, I said, you come and do your message. Don't do your service.
Mm-hmm.
You do your message. Bring your musician and your singer.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all sing. You one singer, and I stream it to your page so your people will be able to experience it and do it rather than putting people at risk and doing that. And, you know, I said it. I didn't tell them. I said, hey, you just get a church a love offering. That's it. You ain't got anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to help. If you want to get the gospel message out, then you do it. Then I work with pastors. And I'm working with business owners
mm-hmm.
that they never made it to this digital area, being able to pay digitally.
Right.
And so they're a concern. I mean, you know.
Well, I'd like to address that. One of my initial concerns was, you know, I believe in the ministry of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and he's called me to be a nurse to heal the sick,
mm-hmm.
take care of the poor, and help suffering.
And your degree in religion as well.
Oh, yes. I did major in religion at the University of Florida, but that was in another 30-year lifetime. You know, I also went to the University of North Florida and graduated in African-American Diaspora Studies. So I mean, and I'm a nurse, so I'm, you know, well-versed to talk about a lot of things. But what we're experiencing in the church and what really concerned me was the church is in a pivotal time. And where they can make a difference in the response to this COVID-19. And a lot of us rely on the church, we rely on the ministers, and we rely on them for reliability and truthfulness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we depend on them. And I feel like the church have an obligation to protect the congregants, many of them who are elderly in their church, and as well as the outer community, right? Let me just say this. So what we're seeing is what is going on with the church in terms of them asking them to now move to streaming and measures is I liken it to when the United States went from an agrarian society to a mechanical society, and we made that transition. You're going to have to see that even in the United States, we're moving from manufacturing and to a global economy, which requires scientific knowledge, STEM training for our younger people, technology, and robotics.
AI
and
is
they
over.
Right, robotics, even in our hospitals, the pharmacies place ordinary workers.
Attorneys are being replaced.
Right, we talked about that. Attorneys are being replaced. And so the church has an obligation to stay relevant and to stay in terms of outreach, and they must embrace technology. And this is what COVID-19 is forcing the church to become more, I would say, technologically savvy and take advantage of some of the technology like Facebook streaming, some of the
YouTube streaming.
And some of those measures. And it's great that you're in a position to help some of these churches, and you're not even asking that much.
Well, you know what? Listen to me.
But let me just say this. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is the fear of the unknown, the unfamiliar. And, you know, we have to grow. Christ calls on us to grow in his ministry, right? And we grow every day in his love and understanding. And that is what is needed in the church. We have to grow faster, and we have to be willing to open our minds and reevaluate and self-evaluate. Where are we? What is our heart, and where do we want to go in terms of helping our people?
I think you said something powerful. I was just reading the other day. And some, you know, if you any of you ask for my book selection, I don't mind doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But in 20 years, they're predicting that 40% of the labor force
right.
would have been replaced by robotics, AI, these new Androidian technology, intelligent
right.
machines and devices.
Genetic testing, all that.
All of, are being replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are, the church, this is a wake-up call, because much of our parishioners that are labor-intense, that work jobs,
right.
are going to be replaced.
Right.
I mean, and jobs that, these are not just dishwashers and jobs that some people like to call just blue-collar, but they are white-collar jobs that
right.
are being replaced.
Right.
And it's so the church is getting ready to experience a massive transformation, and I think this is a wake-up call to remind us either change with the times or get left.
Or get left. I mean, even in the airline industry, which they're trying to bail out now, even though they had all those tax cut savings and they bought back their stock back and didn't reinvest in their people, and now we're being asked to bail them out
again.
Instead of workers that deserve to be bailed out. But even in the aviation industry, which I was a part of that and promoting that, more people to become pilots in the black community, our planes fly almost on pilot, automatic pilot. They're going to end up replacing pilots.
Oh, yeah. That's
where you
right.
can just actually plug in your points and just go for designation and just go from Jacksonville to New York, and it's just on autopilot.
Now,
we got cars that are parking themselves. I mean,
well, I don't know how. I don't know. I'm gonna say something, and I don't. And this is gonna test our relationship. How could it?
Okay.
But the Jetsons and many of those shows
mm-hmm.
were prophetic, and
yeah.
some of the things that it said, and they said
yeah.
it was warnings to where we were
right,
going.
Right.
And ready, if you look at. And I'm not talking about Notre Dame.
You remember Star Trek?
Oh God.
Who ever thought we'd be looking at a big screen and talking to the screen
and touching it and interacting with
right,
us.
Right.
Culturally, we are, and our cars parking itself
right.
and what they're doing, you know,
right.
I was looking at a car and I went and one of the things they do is they do an assessment.
Right.
And you know, we drove a Mercedes, and so
Of course you would.
I wanted to switch.
The greatest people drive Mercedes.
I know what it costs. And so I considered driving one of the newer type cars.
Okay.
And so I went for an assessment. You know, they give you a little assessment whether or not you're prone to. Well, come to find out that I wasn't a suitor for it because I need to. I don't charge my cell phone. I don't charge my iPad. I mean, they would sell the car to you anyhow.
Right.
They've determined that these cars, and I guess I'm not going to say the name because I'm not going to
get in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble. But I wasn't a suitor because I'm not really good. But technology is where it's going. I just love that big LED in it. I love the doors that open up
right.
on the side. But now you know what I'm talking about. But I realized that was not technology. There was stuff they're doing with those cars
mm-hmm.
to park themselves
right.
and to driving, self-driving
right.
technology. I think I make this appeal to pastors that are out there. We do times of talking. You need to know where our culture is and
mm-hmm.
what's going on and know the technology issues that are out there and be able to resolve it. You call me. You want to learn. You want to know. You want to take your church to the next level. You know, you're out there, and I'm amazed. It's a lot of pastors that are looking. Let us help you. We've got classrooms. I got webinars. I mean, if you can guarantee me that there's less than 10 people there and get me some disinfectant and grill, I'll come out to your church if you're in Jacksonville and help you set up something so that you can get progressive. I'll build the platform so you can go on your own website and your people can see your messaging and part it. All we have to do is just turn a switch, whatever you need to make sure the message gets out. Because our people need to be encouraged. You are right.
Absolutely.
I mean, people are melancholy. They're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
They're stressed. They're looking at so much decadence and negative news. They need to be encouraged. So you're right about that. But at the mercy of putting people at danger is our concern, that we are protecting people and their lives. And so I thank you. What I want to do now is I want us to, they're going to roll in to this little announcement that's going to come, and then afterwards we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about politics.
Yeah, I love to talk about politics.
We got to talk a little bit about
you know
that.
I love politics.
We're ready to come back, and we're going to talk about all this whole issue. So into our producer's hand. No, it supports the show. And
.com/Deeper Look Show or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Deeper Look Show. You can get alerts when we go live. Please call in and voice your opinion. Be our co-host call-in guest, 516-590-0135.
Contact us today with your story and contact information, and please send corresponding proof. We do not buy stories or use the platform to hurt people, but we listen to both sides of the story. Email us today at deeperlook2020@gmail.com.
Well, we're back, but I'm going to tell you.
Let me do it. It's just among the most.
Okay.
I got to have you looking right.
So, we're back home. God, we're
glad. Wow.
Back. Thank you. So, let's talk about this whole situation
okay.
in terms of Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
And you know, I seek to give a balanced perspective.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is, the man was down.
Oh, yeah.
About a lot of issues that
right.
he said. I listened to the speech that Bernie gave
mm-hmm.
as he was addressing the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a lot of backlash from that initially.
Well, usually when you're advocating change, right?
Yeah.
And you're pushing the system,
uh-huh.
right, against the status quo,
uh-huh.
you're going to get backlash. Dr. Martin Luther King got backlash, right?
Because
yeah.
mm-hmm.
he wanted us to, actually, he was fighting against poverty, right?
Well, whenever you stand for something, you're going to have people that are going to come against you for what you stand for.
Well, I get a lot of backlash. I actually stand for something.
Well, you know, I, like you are in the political arena
right.
and your social advocacy, in the pulpit I am, because I call preachers that are, I call them bootleg preachers. I call people that are not willing to really serve. I get bothered. What bothers me
mm-hmm.
is we wear the title but fail to do the work.
Right.
And not just the preachers, but now they watch this. You know, the scripture talks about the man that found himself on the side of the road.
Okay.
That's where the hospital church came from. When
okay.
when he the Samaritan put him on his own beast,
mm.
took him to the inn
mm.
and took care of him all night long, left it to the innkeeper and said, when I come back, he left him with some money, said, take care of him and I got you
right.
when I come back. That was the whole concept where God gave us the hospital church.
Oh,
because
okay.
we are supposed to maintain, take care of those that have fallen.
Right.
But what got me is that he took care of him at the point where he was hurting
right.
in the role. He poured oil in his wound. Now watch this. The Levite, the priest,
mm-hmm.
came by, looked at him from afar,
right.
realized his condition,
right.
but was not willing to get involved.
Right.
One was like the preacher, the other one was like the deacon. And so I tell people that they will follow their leaders
mm-hmm.
in their actions. So when you wonder why the church isn't serving and the church isn't the preacher, but it's the people that's in the church and they
right.
follow the lead of many of their leaders. Now, a disclaimer. There are some great pastors out there that are doing a great job,
right.
that are serving God's people and doing a wonderful job. And I
right.
thank God for you that are serving. But it is important that we become active at affecting change. I mean, we were out there feeding homeless people.
Right.
I mean, actually going to homes and giving
right.
stuff in areas that are diminished.
Well, I'll actually be in Sherwood Forest Saturday morning along with a representative from Daniels, and we will be giving out food. And I'm actually going to suit up and go out there and hand out food because so many people don't have the money. Think about it. You get food stamps once a month. You can't work. And who's going to bridge the difference in making sure your child, who's home now, can feed themselves? We have got to take control of this situation and help actually bring ministry, advocacy to our people and meet the needs. And that's, you know, you was talking about Bernie Sanders and the stimulus package that was first offered by Trump, which was $1,000, but it had a lot of bailouts for giant corporations with no tangible benefits for those workers like myself. So what Bernie Sanders was offering is, and like I said, what COVID-19 brought to the forefront is the need for access to health care for everyone, right? You're seeing that more so than ever. Regardless of your ability to pay, you need access. And he's proposing a $2 trillion COVID-19 emergency plan, which includes $2,000 directly monthly payments to every American. Now, that is phenomenal. Not only that, once again, everyone that needs care can get it for free. Healthcare, I believe in that. Number two, we need to ensure all workers continue to receive paychecks so they can make sure ends meet. And number three, we need to stop these giant corporations and Wall Street, these pharmaceutical companies, and all of these companies from profiting off the outbreak of COVID-19. That is imperative.
Now, how do you make those things happen?
How do you make those things happen? Like we did after World War II, Bishop. We went in and actually President Roosevelt had what we call a bailout plan for Europe. And we pumped in billions of dollars to Europe to bail them out, and we was guaranteeing every worker a job here in America, every worker the right to Social Security, and those type things. And we need to bring that back to America in 2020.
Now, I think that where we stand now as a country, there are many that will say that that's complete socialism.
Well, we already had socialism. You had socialism when you got Social Security. You had socialism when you got that welfare check. You had socialism when you got student loans. You had socialism when you had them food stamps. When I used to get them $241, when that welfare check hit, that was socialism. I didn't work for it. That's a handout, right?
Absolutely.
But the problem is we've been giving billions and billions of dollars in free welfare checks to corporations. Our money is being mismanaged. We've got the money. It's where is the money being distributed?
So wait a minute now. So you mean the companies you are suggesting, and you're
mm-hmm.
saying
mm-hmm.
that the companies are getting welfare too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're getting welfare. They're getting welfare. They're getting subsidies. Let's take it right here in Jacksonville. We gave Sean Conn $233.3 million to subsidize Lot J, which is downtown, right? He's worth $8 billion, right? Can you imagine what $233 million would mean to Moncrief, Myrtle Avenue, Clyde Drive?
We gave him how much?
$233.3 million with no stipulations for work guarantees and for things for workers. And we have a high unemployment rate right here in Jacksonville, people working two jobs, people working to make ends meet. The average rent is over $1,069. How many people out there can't hardly make their rent this month? How many people out there can't pay their car note, their GEICO insurance? See, I'm one of them. I understand what you're going through.
So wait a minute now. So I like this because,
yeah,
you know, this is my kind of, this is my lane here.
Oh, yeah. This is my lane, too.
Because what happens is I think that, and this is what I encourage. You know, I'm big for teaching us our community to get off welfare, to become socially
mm-hmm.
aware, to get all those kind of things, and given mm-hmm. the undergirding and the developing programs and training, I'm with that. But what
I got welfare?
Yeah, hold on. Let me
they ain't get off welfare.
I got one. But this is what I was getting ready to say. That
mm-hmm.
instead of taking the picture and making pocket communities feel guilty
mm-hmm.
for doing that, let's hold everybody accountable.
Exactly.
So you want the lady the old lady that worked all her life that you
mm-hmm.
ain't given but $70.
Right.
You want her to get off welfare and mama to be able to make it. But then you giving corporations
right.
millions upon almost billions of dollars.
And we're building up the military industrial complex. We're building up prisons. We're building and subsidizing every industry that is taking money out of our pockets. If America is a free market economy, if that's true, then everybody should make it on their own, what? Meritocracy, their own hard work. We should not be subsidizing any corporation to make it, and we should not be bailing out any corporation. Let's, for example, in 2008, most black people lost their wealth, including me. I lost over $1 million in assets when the market folded.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have not recovered. They went in and bailed out Wall Street. Wall Street, in return, didn't bail out us with foreclosure.
No, it didn't.
So we helped them to be what? To have income. All those top 1%ers got paid. Me, the working nurse, lost my home, lost everything I had. Nobody bailed me out. Did anybody bail you out? No. We have to work. So the truth is, meritocracy in America is dead. It's a myth.
And does not exist. Especially for the working America.
For the working America. And we need to be for the workers. This is not just about race. This is about class. This is about elitism. And this is about people on the bottom always coming up and not getting the short end of the stick. And
now,
it's enough's enough.
Now, this is my concern. And so there's been much talk about, so recently there was a nurse.
Right.
That was working in the hospital.
Correct.
And she's not going on camera. She did an off-camera interview. I should have had that interview. But she heard doctors talking about, oh, God, having to make decisions,
mm-hmm.
not having enough ventilators, not having
right.
enough. And even though they took a Hippocratic oath,
right,
they were actually the determiners of who lived or died.
Right.
And what's so sad is that they were talking about people like us getting the short end of the stick.
Well, I mean, that translates into healthcare for black people since the Tuskegee.
But my point is why it is so important for African Americans
right.
to do this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because our Medicaid, our Medicare, our city cards or stuff may not reach and cover some of the real issues.
Right.
And so I want to say this to you, just because you can afford to go to the doctor today and because you can go to the healthcare today, when it's coming down to a survival of the fittest,
mm-hmm.
you may be the last.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I need you to, and I know we don't want to think like that. I know that we're in a culture that we try to believe all of these wonderful things, but these are some horrible days that are before us.
Right.
There are horrible days behind us. And so I want us to just open our minds for just a minute and protect what belongs to you. Listen to me. You said some things about Bernie. I think Bernie has a wonderful, I think a lot of Americans like Bernie,
right,
but they're afraid.
Well, we're afraid of the unfamiliar, mm-hmm. and we've been indoctrinated to believe that we shouldn't actually receive our fair share.
Now,
you know, and it's just it's just what's going on with the church, which you was talking about, the streaming.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't understand that which we don't understand, we shun.
And some of them are doing it, but they're not doing it with excellence. And so what happens is major mega ministries that are doing it with excellence, their parishioners are going to be attracted to them.
Right.
I'm trying to get pastors to be able to do it with excellence on a low budget for peanuts, so that they can still garner the same degree of support and ready. If you give in a subpar service, then people can barely hear what you're saying. The microphone wave over here is distracting. I mean, it's there. But going back to what you said,
mm-hmm.
I think that they are afraid. Now, I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
And this is strong. And this is just us talking. I know that there's 500 some of people listening to, but you ever just get the feeling
mm-hmm.
That Biden, do you ever get, I know he was with Obama,
okay.
but do you ever get that he might be a little racist?
A little racist?
I mean, do you ever get that feeling?
Do I get that feeling? Well, we don't, it's not about a feeling.
Uh-huh.
See, facts don't, let me just
that
say.
That voting this. Record don't. That,
wait a minute, let me just say
uh-huh.
this. Facts don't care about your feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I teach that as a preacher.
Though. Right? And the real revolution is the elevation of the mind.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have to get a feeling whether he's racist. We can look at his track record.
Voting record.
His voting record, his track record, and his political record, right?
Uh-huh.
He was and he is a segregationist. He was part of the Dixiecrats. We're talking about Governor George Wallace.
Uh-huh.
Strom Thurmond, that was against integrating public schools. Okay, so let's start off with that. He was against, he was for all the Jim Crow measures that kept our people impoverished, that led to a lot of the brutality that we experienced in this country and we fought for. He was against some of the civil rights gains that we fought so
but
hard
he said
for.
He changed.
Okay. Did he change? What has he done since he promoted that crime bill? In other words, if I change, then I have to make amends for the work I did, right? The
mm-hmm.
harm I did. It's not enough to change. If I hurt you and I don't make amends for it, then it's futile.
Mm-hmm.
There are millions of black people who have been separated in their families because of his 94 crime bill.
Now explain that. Because some people don't even understand that.
Well, he increased, we talked about this, the unequal, it called for the unequal sentencing
oh, yeah, it was
of crack and cocaine.
Yeah.
It also stipulated where more people were subject to longer sentences. Right? The three strikes, you're out, the mandatory minimum.
Ready, selling near a church, knowing that in our community there was a church on every corner.
It took away the judge's discretion,
mm-hmm.
right, to be able to
evaluate case-by-case scenario.
Right, which we have been doing, which is fair, right,
mm-hmm.
because everybody don't meet the same criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It was racist. It caused, you know what, let me just say this. Black people make up 12% of the population, about 12.5%.
Mm-hmm.
We make up over almost 50% of the prison population. Why is that?
It's tragedy.
That's a tragedy.
American
and
tragedy.
When you look at how black men have been stigmatized with the felony, and we're just fighting that now with the voting, trying to get voters' rights back with Amendment 4,
mm-hmm.
all of these things are a direct effect of what Joe Biden did and what he was a part of. So, yes, and the only reason why President Obama brought him on.
To broaden his base.
Right, to broaden his base, and he had to do what he had to do to get elected. We understand that, but we President Obama was great when he was there, but this is a new day. And these younger people and me, we're demanding more.
Well, I think that you said it right. And let me just deal with, I'm going to always, being the preacher that I am.
Okay.
I think that every foolish of us
mm-hmm.
not to believe
mm-hmm.
that there's an attack. I'm going to go for here first on
okay.
the black male.
Oh yeah.
And the destruction of the black family. I believe the enemy has
right.
done that,
yes.
going all the way back to Moses.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And so it would be foolish of us not to identify that. Pastor, multicultural church, people from all walks of life. But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
I have to identify that Satan desires to divide and destroy families.
Right.
And if he can destroy the
family,
he can destroy
right.
our
yeah,
communities.
Right. Long before we were locking up children in cages in from Mexico and
mm-hmm.
all those places, black people have been separated from their families way since slavery. We've been fighting this since slavery, the separation of the black family. And we've been fighting to keep our families intact, our extended families, our nuclear families. We have to fight harder every day because of the economics in our homes. Our household incomes are not on par with the rest of our community. And so it's a daily fight. If you look at every segment of America, whether it's education, Bishop, whether it's the health care, whether it's the prison, criminal justice system, it's an attack on black people in this country. There's a genocidal effect on black people in this country, and that's why it's important that we begin to protect ourselves. That's why I'm out here teaching. That's why I'm out here tonight, because we've got to take our health care under control for ourselves.
Now, listen to me, and I know that we've been.
And also, the number one thing that matters is breathing. If you're not breathing, nothing else matters. So healthcare is number one. We learned that when you were talking about the doctors had to make the decision about the who to care for. But when I worked in the emergency room, we had what we call triage. And we based that on who was most acutely ill. So it's a shame that we live in this country and we have all of this wealth. And yet, this COVID-19 has caught us where we don't have enough ventilators. We don't have enough N95 masks, respirator masks. We don't have enough sanitizers. We don't have enough gloves that every healthcare worker can be protected. This is a shame. This is a failure. It's a systemic failure. And you know what? It's a crisis, and it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call not just to black and brown communities, but for every American, because every American life is at risk right now.
Well, I think we've said so much and we've addressed so much.
Yes.
What I want to do is I'm going to open up the lines.
Okay.
Because I think that we've said a lot of things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That you're out there and you've got some opinions. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be able to call in and as we discuss these issues. And while we're waiting on the lines to open up, we're going to go break for just a few moments. And we're going to break for a brief commercial, and we're going to talk about some things in healthcare
mm-hmm.
and some things that I'm doing as well that I think it's going to be a help to a lot of people that are out there. And we're going to talk about economics and what
oh,
we
yeah.
can do to strengthen families during this particular
time. Oh, yeah,
time
absolutely. Absolutely.
Hopefully Ms. Atasha is able to call in, but if not, we'll talk about some things
okay.
that in regards
All
to
right.
that. All right.
Here in the greater Jacksonville area. I want to take just a quick moment of your time to talk about something so important regarding home ownership, something so important that we really don't talk about it. Matter of fact, it makes us uncomfortable to talk about it. I want to talk about the number one obstacle from preventing potential and aspiring home buyers from achieving their homeownership dreams and living their best life. That number one obstacle, folks, is called fear. Fear is real. Fear causes doubt, and doubt causes lack of action. In my over 20 years of helping homebuyers in the Jacksonville area, by far, fear has been the biggest and tallest and baddest hurdle to overcome. It's perfectly okay to be afraid. It's all right to be scared. Heck, when I bought my first home, I was anxious. I was anxious as a mug. I was stressed. But if you know God, if you have faith, and you seek the right kind of assistance, the kind of assistance that doesn't leave your side, it's more possible than you ever realize. It's easier than you think. And truly, buying a house, it's not that hard. Let's talk about some percentages. About 40% of potential home buyers actually have the credit score. They just don't know they have it because they don't know how credit works, or they think the few dings that they've had in the past has made their credit worse than what it is. Another 30%, they're just 20, 30 points away from getting that credit score to purchase a home. But guess what? We got some specific techniques to help you get those 20, 30 points quickly, because they're just so close. And the last 30% of potential home buyers, they're just not ready yet. It's okay. They just need a little bit more time. They need a plan, just a little direction, and some confidence. We here at Client First Realty Corp, we never tell you no. We never tell you no. We may tell you not yet, but we never tell you no. I want you to click on this link down here. I'm going to give you 5 specific techniques to put you ahead of the game when thinking about buying a home. And always and forever, Jack, always remember one thing. We here at Client First Realty Corp, we put you first.
Are you ready to take your media department to the next level? Come join people from across the country for our annual 3-day media training. Learn how to use the camera the right way. We can teach you editing. Learn advanced podcasting secrets. You can go back to church and master how to run the audio board like a professional. We can teach you stage lighting. Learn to tape for television or stream professionally on social media. Let us show you the tricks of the trade and how to do it all on a budget. Hotel packages are available. Sign up today at mediatraining.us or call 904-389-5592.
Let me tell you this, we are so concerned. Finances.
All right.
And money is our lasting thing.
Okay.
And the lines are open. You put that number on the screen. If you're out there, the lines are open. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what people are saying.
Yeah.
And it relates to money and finances.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we've said here, if there's something to chime in, I'm sure you have been watching us and we've dealt with a lot of things. Some people left us when we went to the last section. I guess they thought we were ending. But when we deal with finances and all of this that's going on in the country and our city and business leaders, what do we do? I mean, there's a lot of ideas out of there because people are really frustrated. I mean, being able to work, they're concerned. One of the things I've wrestled is home businesses. They can work from home,
right?
Ideas and things of the sort. One of the things that I came up is we've done, I think you did one. One is is Teladoc. We've been promoting a service called Teladoc.
Okay.
And Teladoc is, it allows people to be able to, for $29 a month, they can call a doctor 24 hours a day.
Okay.
They have access, not calling, they're on the phone with the doctor 24 hours.
Right.
But they can call for common calls that are not those,
right,
high blood pressure, those kind of things. Because getting into the doctor's office now is a challenging thing.
All right.
And they're able to, you know, those basic things.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the doctor, you know, get those health care issues.
Right.
You know, they can't go to the doctor, so
right,
they can call.
Right.
Because it's like a, I mean, I went to go visit a member. And it's I'm going to be honest with you. God hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. But
right,
when I go into that hospital, I mean, I was washing my hands every few steps. I had the mask
right
on. I felt nervous.
Well, I had
I
to go
like,
in Baptist the other day, and I was nervous. Well, I was walking around. I was wiping my hands. I mean, healthcare providers, we're human, and we feel the same thing you're feeling.
And I can imagine. So from an economic standpoint, we've been encouraging people to sign up for it and to become salesperson for it. You know,
I hope they will take advantage of that, because what this has shown is something. You know, I'm big into entrepreneurship. I have my own company. I've always worked for myself as well as a nurse,
mm-hmm,
because I believe you have multiple streams
of
income,
uh-huh,
to survive. You cannot just be one job, folks. You've got to have a backup plan. You know, that's how I survived with my two children. We're able to put them through Bishop Kenny, and she went on the University of North Florida. Because I sold mortgages, I had real estate, I had an apartment building, I've done some of everything to survive as well as work as a
nurse. A clean hustler. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I came from a family. You know, I grew up off the north side. My aunt owned a motel called the Guest Motel. And she had that
not
for 50.
Not the Peekaboo?
No, not the Peekaboo. It was way out off of Moncrief.
Oh,
and
down on the left-hand side over there?
Well, that was Edels. But if you came on down the railroad
okay
track, my aunt had that business for over 50 years.
Oh, man, y'all been hustling
so,
for years.
Yeah, I grew up watching people bring my aunt money.
Mm-hmm.
And she never worked for anybody, God rest her soul, of Leggett's Motel. And so I grew up around people who had a juke joint on 4th and Florida Avenue, my mama's best friend. And her daughter is now Carla Ann Harris, that's a number two person over Morgan Stanley.
Now, you know you need to stop, because you just said juke joint. Now, you know,
that's
we don't
what it
use
was.
We don't use that word no more.
What we use, the club.
The club.
Well, it was called a juke joint. It's right there on the corner of 4th and Florida Avenue. So I grew up with entrepreneurship in my spirit,
mm-hmm,
right? So I think what is going on with COVID-19 is it's going to force a lot of us to get out of the mode of just working on a job, because at the end of the day, this is a capitalist society, right? It is profit driven, and we have to have alternative methods of to generate income.
Brick and mortar businesses after this that were already teetering. I mean, it was teetering.
Right.
I mean, the JCPenney's, those things are probably literally gone. They just had an outbreak at Amazon here in town.
Yeah.
And a case there, and they're thinking about closing part of, and I don't know what some people are going to do if Amazon closed.
Right.
But so brick and mortar will not exist. So
right,
internet-based businesses,
right,
service providers that are non-physical contact service providers,
mm-hmm,
are ways that you can spawn businesses. I've encouraged people to look in the currency transfer business.
Oh, like cryptocurrencies?
Cryptocurrencies and things,
mm-hmm,
of that sort. Because the stock market, if
that
you don't
plummeted.
I mean, it's a great time to buy now,
right,
because of how bad it is.
Right.
But you got to be willing to
wait it out.
Wait it out. And
how many of us have?
Don't have that accessible money.
Right. We didn't have that disposable income because we're working every day just to meet. See, the cost of services and goods are exceeding wages.
What would you? I just saw one of my friends just posted watermelon.
Watermelon.
$15.
$15 for a watermelon?
Slice of watermelon.
Well, that's why we as African Americans need to go back to organic, growing that farm in the backyard. Right? I grew up, I used to go out in my backyard and pick a watermelon out the yard, bell pepper off the tree, you know, we need to go back. I heard a minister the other night over at Zephaniah, I think it was about 3 weeks ago. I was over there for a revival. And he was encouraging organic farming. We're going to need to go back to that.
We're definitely going to have to go back to protecting our future
right.
for an economic plan. And so I do a call for people that are interested in developing the economic fortitude and,
right.
and wanting to start. And it's a think tank where I sit down and we, not sit down, but we're on the phone, and we talk ideas that can
right.
help people.
Don't you think we need to form some cooperative economics where we're starting to pool money maybe and do some things? And
oh, you know, let me tell you this. That's the concern of blacks in America for
okay.
me.
Okay.
Because as I started working internationally with blacks out of the country,
okay.
like Jamaica, like the Bahamas, when we got a Bahamian brother in here.
Okay.
They have pools, business pools.
Right.
It's a part of their culture
oh.
where you invest in this pool.
Right.
And when you get ready to start your business, the pool gives you the money to start your business.
Right.
When you get your business started up, every week you take a portion of your check.
Right.
They've made millionaires doing this. And it was a part of their culture.
Right.
But, you know, they weren't influenced by Willie Lynch and some other things the way we were.
Right.
To have been broken in some of the respect to we fight against each other and working cooperatively.
Well, that's what I believe in. We can do for sale and also demand our fair share of our tax dollars to work together. For example, when we built, when Publix went out of service out in Gateway, mm-hmm. that was a great opportunity that we could have taken some city dollars that was in the Northeast I think it was what was called the Economic
Empowerment Fund.
Mm-hmm. And we could have taken that money instead of subsidizing Winn-Dixie, and we could have subsidized a black-owned co-op over there in Gateway, mm-hmm. right? And we could have done for ourselves. So when you talk about do for self, we could have did for self. But we don't have the leadership in our mm-hmm. community starting at the top, trickling down. And what is happening, Pastor, is, and you've seen this in slavery, exploit our labor to build their wealth. They're not building our wealth with our tax dollars. And that's part of the problem.
And I think that's why we keep coming back to, even though, and this is the true statement,
mm-hmm.
even though in this generation the black church does not represent what it used to represent,
right?
But it still have a residual voice.
Right.
And we must mobilize not just the black church. I always say this. It was a conference that was done last year
mm-hmm.
and it was crazy. The Southern Baptists.
Oh Lord.
The Southern Baptists.
I'm gonna pray about them.
They had a conference that was, you know, wasn't the mainline conference
mm-hmm.
where they addressed the issues of what the mess that they did in their organization towards African Americans and repented and called, and African American speakers came in, called them on the carpet for their actions.
Well, you can't repent.
Transformation and
no,
changing and turning.
No,
reparations.
You can't reparations. That's the word. Economic reparations. There can be no repentance without cash on the table, because you benefited from the systemic racism in our community. You have benefited from systemic inequality. So if you have a true repentance, right, if you have a true remorse, if you really believe in forgiveness and you are asking forgiveness, well, how do we do that in this country? We pay for it.
But when in that section the pastors call the white Baptist churches on the carpet and said, you see the social injustices.
Right.
Take your platform in your lily white audiences or your mixed multicultural audiences.
Right.
And address the injustice.
Why would they want to do that, though, Pastor?
I think that one of the statements that was said to them, and many of those pastors said, we have sat back over the years
mm-hmm.
and saw people being abused, but we were afraid to address the issues because of our base.
Okay.
And as a small presence, I'm not Southern Baptist at all.
Right.
But I started seeing them a small group. So there are little pockets.
Right.
I believe that God
right.
is working on the hearts of people
right.
around. But this is where we have to take our resources and take our monies, and we have to pull our resources together, and we must devise a plan and work the plan. What happens is we talk about what we're going to do, but going to never turns into doing anything.
Well, one of the it's interesting you brought up about the Southern Baptist. One of the persons that gave me an opportunity out at Malone Air Charter to represent their aviation, and I ended up flying up to Liberty University on a corporate jet, and all of that was a devout Southern Baptist minister. I'm not going to call his name right now, but he was, how should I say, a devout segregationist in his time, and still had some of those racialized views. But we were able to come together because he had a paternalistic view of black people and wanted to help. And I was able to capitalize on that paternalism and be able to bring aviation to the black community and try to increase more pilots, people that could actually clean the planes. And, you know, and he gave me that opportunity, and they paid me a lot of money. And I'm forever grateful for the opportunity. I spoke out at JIA.
I remember that.
Right.
I think that
JIA. I'm sorry.
Actually, that's where I met you at.
You probably did.
No,
he propped me up and gave me the outreach.
I remember when you brought in some pastors.
Oh yeah.
That's where I actually met you.
Okay, right.
And,
so you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm actually.
So and he was very, I want to say.
I got you.
He's a Trump supporter.
I got you.
To his heart.
I got you.
But he was very gracious to me. And he gave me that opportunity. He saw something in me, and I believed in what he was telling me about the. And matter of fact, he showed me, because I'm one of these people. I believe in logic, you know. And he showed me about the runway extension and how Arlington was losing millions of dollars. But I don't want to get into that. But I'm saying when you're talking about the church, the Southern Baptist, they can be beneficial in the way that you're saying, because they can open up opportunities. They can provide a change. They can actually stimulate the conversation.
Which is important.
Which is important to begin to deal with the inequalities, particularly in Jacksonville.
Well, and I think that when we look at the truth, as a culture, but our pastors got to go back building infrastructure, supporting schools, encouraging the going to schools, You know, Bethel Institutional. I'll just deal with that. The institutional, back in the day, those groups were. They were the purveyors. They were the starters, the encouragers of academics and training. And so I just think it's you know, people always ask me, they say, well, you're always engaged in some training class. You're always offering something. You're always developing. Because I think it's part of the church's responsibility.
But one of the things is, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but one of the things is our churches have got to stay out of politics, and they've got to avoid the perception of being bought and sold. And we need to just tell the truth.
But that's so true, because let me tell you this.
You can't proselytize in the pulpit policies that are counter to every one of your constituents' interests for your own profit.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. So you've got to give the appearance that you are, separated from that. You can't be on both sides. You can't. You know, you can't serve two masters. Right?
You love one or the other. You're going to love one or hate the other.
You're going to love one or hate the other. The Bible says it, right? But we're selective in what verses we use for the Bible, right?
Oh, because it's
popular. Right.
No, I think tonight has been a wonderful experience. I think that we are to the evening calls, and y'all got to forgive us. Next week, we're going to really about that. It was so passionate.
I know.
issues that are fronting. Listen to me. We had an actual nurse on tonight. Nurse Hunt here with us, and she helped us. She was on a mission. She was on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And helped us with things that we need to do. Recap one more time some of the things that we need to do.
Okay, number one, I want you to wash your hands. I want you to stay indoors. I want you to have safe, meaning 6 feet away from people. Do not congregate in large or these, you know, congregated assemblies. Be careful. I want you to have your hand sanitizer. Take your temperature. It's over 99.4 and you're having respiratory difficulties. Remember, you can go to Lot J and you can get tested. We need more people tested. We need to call for more testing so we know how many people are actually infected with COVID-19. Again, I want to emphasize gloves. See these gloves? Start to use your gloves. When you go to that get your gas, when you're swiping your ATM card, when you're getting your food at the Walmart, remember I gave you a pair of gloves tonight. I want you to use it. I brought a whole box for all of my people right here. Once again, if you're running out of sanitizer, remember, you can always use what we call alcohol. Old-fashioned alcohol works. Also, bleach. Do we have bleach at home? Once again, you know, go back to what we used to do back in the old days. Wash your house down with some bleach spray. And last but not least, I would love for everybody to demand access. That's your right to an N95 respirator mask. You hear me? Not the other mask, because it can't see. See how that mask forms a seal? It's that good mask. I went all the way 3 weeks ago and made sure I got a mask, and people are buying them out. But it wants to fit over your face and be sealed, okay? And this is important. Spray down your house. Wipe down your knobs. Do not let your kids track their shoes inside your house. Leave it outdoors. Leave it at the thing. Even my granddaughter, she leaves her shoes at the front porch. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, one of the things we don't know is the immunity. If you get infected, you could get reinfected. We don't know if you get a built-up immunity. And one of the things I'm praying for in my lifetime is that we get a vaccine to cure all forms of influenza, because, you know, this is – and another thing people realize, they say, well, you know, even on the back of this, they had the virus on there, the corona. But this is a different strain of that virus, right? Because we had the bird flu, the swine flu. We had
SARS,
MARS. We had all of that, right? Mm-hmm. But this is a different strain. And, you know, I'm not going to get into it. And when we talk about the mutation of that virus and how it replicates and replicates quickly, the RNA sequence, if anybody knows anything about DNA and the gene makeup, this thing replicates quickly. Once it enters into your lungs, it will replicate, and you will feel like you are underwater. It will feel like you are burning. You will get a scratch in your throat. You might have a low-grade temperature. Most of the times, you won't have a runny nose, but you will have a buildup of phlegm. Right, as you start to feel like you are drowning, because that's called a form of pneumonia. So once again, it is up to you to protect yourself, protect your family before you get to the point where you need hospitalization, before you get to the point where you need a ventilator that may or may not be available. And that's the point that we need to emphasize to our young people. I want to keep our young people say we have it. Under, I think, about two that has died. So you can die from this. And when I was young, I was like, oh, that's the old people disease. You know, the old people going to get dead. I'm good. I'm in my car. I'm fine. I'm looking good. I'm going to the club. You know, that's what my mindset was. Now, I understand that club could be deadly, right? You need to stay home. Party at home. Listen to whatever you listen. Hopefully you listen to gospel music. You're not in the trap house listening to that. And, you know, you're staying focused on the word of God, right? So so I thank you, Bishop, for your care, for your voice. It is forward thinking, your own point, and you deserve all of the glory tonight for having me on, taking a chance on my voice, validating my voice, and giving me this opportunity to really care about your community and being so forward thinking for your people and for your church. And they are great. They should be grateful to have you as their minister.
Well, I'm, you know, as a little ministry gift that I hear brewing tonight, it gets all in your belly.
All in your belly. It's like what they say. It's like Jeremiah. It's all shut up in your bones, right? Amen.
It has been a wonderful afternoon. It's been a wonderful evening. They're getting ready to take us out, and they're going to take us out with our closing tonight. And I appreciate you all so much. And this is a new piece that I think they're adding, and then they're going to take us out with the close after the our disclaimer close. But this is a new piece. Thank you all so much for watching. Share. Many people watch us during the time, but then we have thousands of people that watch us afterwards. So keep sharing this and doing watch parties, getting this information out. We appreciate you so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you. Stay safe.
Your home. Protect your family without leaving your home. Have the doctor at your fingertips. We call it Teladoc. Meet the doctor over the phone and have them call your prescriptions in to the nearest pharmacist. Imagine the doctor is available 24 hours a day. Sign up at www.signup.center. Get coverage for you and your whole family. Call 904-389-5592.
We take your story serious. Do you have an issue that you would like Dr. Jackson to deal with? Are you a whistleblower? Do you have information that needs to be exposed about the harming of people? Contact us today with your story and contact information, and please send corresponding proof. We do not buy stories or use this platform to hurt people, but we listen to both sides of the story. Email us today at deeperlook2020@gmail.com.
Dr. Jackson would like you to support the Deeper Look family financially. You can show it through various methods. Cash App, hashtag Deeper Show. Venmo, Deeper Show. Zelle, deeperlook2020@gmail.com. Or you can mail all contributions to Deeper Look Show, care of HC Multicultural Center, 6651 Crestline Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32211.